We observed it, that sometimes persons pray to God for things, and it doesn't happen the way they expected it to happen. May I put it that way? And it affects their faith tremendously. So that is what this lesson is all about. It's to help us to understand. We need to understand how we now respond to God when God is to our prayers. God is responding to our prayer. We need to understand his response to our prayers. Have I said that right, Brother Mitchell? We need to understand his response to our prayers. Because if we don't understand it, we may get disillusioned and disappointed with God to the point that we don't use it anymore. We don't use it anymore. And as I was saying to Michael this morning when he was coming on from the pulpit, and I like, oh, Brother Morrison, worded the prayer today. We don't only pray to God, you know, for all the human condition, but we must also have a gratitude, a thanksgiving in our prayers. Our prayers must have this element of thanksgiving when God does answer the prayers. You know, I smile to myself because if you have somebody come into the congregation, just like, you know, a guest, and week in, week out, you hear us praying for the sick, and that is good. We need to pray for the sick. But our Christianity is also a Christianity of triumph with God's help. And God has helped many sick in this congregation to recover. Our prayers mustn't just only be weighted towards God help this precious sick, this sister sick, this brother sick. But when they get better, what do we say? So it must also be, you know what I'm saying, Fabian? This spirit of thanksgiving when the person gets better. I remember saying to Michael, I said it to you, when I wasn't well, and then I got better. And then week in, week out, we're still praying for Brother Gilbert that he get, but Brother Gilbert was better. You get what I'm saying? We need to acknowledge brothers and sisters who are overcoming their illnesses. So this is one aspect that we need to consider. When God answers our prayers, acknowledge it now and give him thanks for what he has done. So as Christians, we approach God for a lot of things in our lives. We approach him about the human condition. What is human condition? Things that relate to our health, things that relate to our job and career, things that relate to our relationships. We approach God for guidance in those areas. We also approach God for our spiritual. We need to approach him for our spiritual condition as well. Am I right, Brother Mitchell? Not just for the physical human condition, but also for the spiritual condition, because we all need to grow spiritually and make improvement in different areas of our lives. So we pray about that also. And God is going to answer our prayers. We must believe that. We must understand. It is vital that we understand that God answers prayers. It will strengthen our faith. Prayer is the most powerful, I keep saying it, is the most powerful thing, you know. And we need to use it. Use it in the quietness of our rooms. You go into the kitchen all by yourself, go to the bathroom, you pray. It doesn't have to be a show. So everybody see that you're up nice, whispering prayer quietly. God is seeing what you have to say. So prayer now, the Bible describes it as a beseeching. In 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1 to 3, we see this element of prayer, that it is a beseeching. It is an imploring. It is a pleading. And verse 1 says, in those days was Hezekiah, sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house what? In order, for you shall die and not live. Then he turned his face to the Lord, saying, I what? Beseech thee. I beseech your Lord, remember now, I have walked before thee in truth, and with a perfect heart, and have done which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. You could sense in this verse the beseeching element of prayer. So prayer does have that beseeching. I think even, brother, you use that word in your prayer today, if my memory serves right, it's a beseech. It is a pouring out of your heart to God. Because he knows us more than we know that it was said. And he's the one that we really can pour our heart. Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in him at all times. That is the element of prayer, too, you know. We are trusting in him at all times. You people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. The refuge for us. So we need to trust in him. And Brother Mitchell says all the time, now, even when we don't understand how things are unraveling in our lives, am I right, church? Even when we don't understand how things are unraveling itself, it may seem to us, wow, this is getting worse instead of getting better. But the element of prayer is saying we must do what? Trust him. Trust in him. I remember years ago, you know, Vivian, a job came to me. I thought it was a dream job. I felt it was a dream job. And I was so excited about getting that job. It was a dream job. And afterwards, they interviewed me and I got the job and everything. And I was to start on Monday. And on the Friday, the permanent secretary called me into his office. When I went there, I saw a lot of people in there. And they found every argument under the sun. They offered me the job already now. Every argument under the sun for me not to get that job. I said, what is this? To myself. And some of them were so guilty, they actually helped me to find another job. But it was not as the quality as this one. But looking back on it now, Fabian, I'm glad I didn't get that job. When I saw or certain things happening in that position and that post, I know certain things, corruption came about in that area. Michael, I was glad though I didn't get that job. Where am I going with this? God answers our prayers in different ways. Sometimes he says yes. Immediate yes. Sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says wait. These are simple. It's a simple lesson, you know, but it is needed by us because our faith needs to be strengthened by knowing these things. So we need to pour out our heart to him. We need to trust in his answer that he's going to give us. No, because he has promised, you know, that he's going to answer it. Look at 1 John 3 and verse 22. And whatever we ask, receive from him, because we keep his commandment and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7 says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall what? Find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. You know what this passage is saying now? God is saying, I've given you the privilege of prayer. Use it now. Use it. Ask of me. Talk to me. John chapter 14, verse 13 to 14 says, and whatsoever you shall what? Ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If he shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. This is where the paradox, the seeming paradox, takes place, Brother Richard. Because persons who don't understand how God works, many times you said it here from this pulpit, that we need to understand God. Am I right, church? I know he works. They look at this passage and they prayed about something and it didn't happen. Didn't happen. And they said, oh, the Bible says this and I'm going to answer your prayer. And it didn't happen for me. And they lose their faith in God. Sometimes, Sister Mitchell, they walk no more with him. I've seen it many times. They walk no more with him because they say, oh, I prayed about this and it don't happen. But remember what I said. God will sometimes say what? No. Yes. Wait. That experience when I did not get that job, that high profile job with the Ministry of Labor, I was devastated. And when I was devastated, and then they tried to find something else for me. I remember coming up to, I said to Monica, I don't get a job. You know, I was devastated. But looking back now and seeing what happened in that position, I said, wow, I'm glad I did not get that job. Sometimes too, a physical, what you think might be physical blessing for you, it can result in you getting backward spirituality, you know. And sometimes God is saving you from that. You know, saving you from, you know, taking the spiritual blessing, putting the spiritual things on the back seat because you now have arrived, you know, you get this job, you have this thing. No. So God is wise in how he answers our prayers. And that is why we need to just trust in him. That phrase of Psalm 62:8, write it down, don't forget it, is a simple phrase, and it says, trust in him. Because he says no. No, many times, you as parents says no to your children. Am I right, Brother Mitchell? They ask you for a certain thing, and you say no. Sometimes they cry, they get upset, don't understand. But you are still looking after their what? Interest. And you say no. Because sometimes I'm also teaching a class in economics. Mostly I teach economics, entrepreneurship. And the student will say, sir, why you don't give us this? Why you don't give us? And I said, no. And I said, no, and they get vexed and upset. But I can tell them no because they're not ready for it yet. Sometimes the no is a delay, you know. And no, sometimes I mean that they are not ready for that level of knowledge yet at the CAPE level, but they might be ready for it at the university level. And if I give it to them now, I'm going to confuse them. They think that they can manage it, you know, Fabian, but it's only going to confuse them. So I say to them, no. Or they just start the course. And they say, sir, are you going to do some past papers? So then I laugh, you know. Because you're not ready for past papers yet. I'm not even taught the content of the course before I give you a past paper question. That is only going to mess up your brain because you're going to say, you know, you don't understand the question. You don't know the purpose of the question. And I'm going to give you a past paper question in the first week of September. That don't make any sense. You understand? So God, some people say no to us. No, listen up. He has the same motive. God has the same motive. When he says yes and when he says no, it's the same motive. And what is his motive? Our best interest. Our best, whether he says no or he says yes, it is in our best interest. So we have to understand that. Now, look at Luke chapter 22, verse 42 and 43. Jesus is going to pray. And Jesus is going to ask God for something. Jesus prayed that the cup might be what? Removed from him. And God did not remove the cup, but he gave him strength to bear it. Let's look at it. 42 says, saying, Father, if thou be what? Willing. Everybody turn to that passage. Father, if thou be what? Willing. Remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Christ's prayer here is a model for us, you know. It's a pattern for us, Vivian. It's a model. You know why I say that? Because he didn't just say, Father, he didn't say, Father, remove this cup from me. His prayer was not, Father, remove this cup from me. Very important. You might say, Brother Gilbert, why is it? This is just, no, it's very important. He says, Father, if you, he put the Father at the center of his request. He said, Father, if you be what? Willing. That's what he said, you know. Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. He can go back and say again, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. It's a pattern for us in our own prayers. It's a pattern for everything that we pray for. And as we'll come to that point late further on, everything that we pray for, it must still be in harmony with God's will. Our interest, yes, but it must be in harmony. The paramount, it must be in harmony with God's will. I am sure you would smirk or smile if you hear somebody saying, God, I pray that you help me to win the lotto. What, if I saw a Wednesday night Bible study, ask what is wrong with that. I'll tell you, since it's a Wednesday night Bible study, Lord, I have the debt to pay. My landlord is coming to throw me out, and I have the debt to pay, and I have a ton of people, and I owe money, and I want to send my child to college. Lord, I pray that you help me to win the lotto. What is wrong with that? It is not in line, in accordance, church, with God's will. That prayer is not in accordance with God's will. God's not going to support us gambling. No. God's not going to support us gambling. So that can't in his line at his business at all. So Christ is saying, Christ is a pattern for us. In fact, what I should have told you, you know, you see this lesson I'm teaching, Brother Michelle? It was an 8 to 9 part lesson. Believe it or not, it went well into COVID. So you might hear and recognize that I went through the pattern of how Christ prayed. It's had so many parts to it. This is a little piece of what you're getting. Little piece. So, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, and a good thing he said that. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And God gave him the strength, because the other verse said, and there appeared an angel unto him. Am I right, church? From heaven, strengthening him. So God did not take the cup from him, Vivian, but God gave him the strength now to go through the ordeal of the crucifixion for our benefit. For our benefit. So everything that God does is to benefit his children. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. But I'm shall always talk about this passage, you know. 7 to 9 with Apostle Paul. Remember that passage, church? Paul asks God to remove his thorn in the flesh. God did not remove the thorn. Did not. But he gave him strength to live with it. Did God answer his prayers? Yes. Yes. That is what we don't understand, you know. God answered the prayers with a yes, no, or wait. But he answered the prayers. But he answered the prayers in our best interest. With our best interest. So, Paul says in verse 7, and lest I should be what? Exalted above measure. Through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the what? In the flesh. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So Paul recognized why the thorn was not taken away from him. You know, he's saying to us here, he has an understanding why God did not take away the thorn, you know. Verse 8, for this thing, but it still was on Paul, it was still pressing on him. It pressed on Paul's church so much that he did not go to God about it only once. Am I right? He did not go to God about it only what? Twice. He went to God about it here thrice. Three times he approached God about it. For this thing, I besought. Now remember what I said, prayers are beseeching, you know. He didn't just go to God and say, oh God, take this from me. It mattered to Paul. Am I right, Brother Richard? Because the strong word he used, that he besought him, that means it is something that is on Paul's mind and heart. This thorn, he rather he did not have it. He rather he did not have this thorn in his life. So he besought the Lord thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. That was Paul's desire as a human condition, that he wanted this thing to leave him. He did not want this thing to be a part of his life any at all. Verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God is fast. We can't really fat up him completely, but let me say. Most gladly, therefore, will I in glory in my infirmities. He says, I rather what? Glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So here we see two cases here where God says no, but still it had a wonderful outcome for us. When Christ says, take this cup from me, God did not take the cup from him, but gave him the strength to carry out that wonderful salvation that we now enjoy. And when Paul says he wants the thorn to be taken from him, God says, no, I'm not taking this thorn from you because of a purpose for you. And my purpose is better suited with you having this thorn. And Paul understood that. That is a kind of mind, and we need to understand how God is going to respond to our prayers. Now, he says no, and he says yes. But look at how he said the yes now. He said the yes. From how I read scripture, he said the yes, Brother Michelle, sometimes two ways. He says the yes when it is good for us and it is in harmony with his will. It work along with his will at the time. And he says yes sometime when it is not good for us. Oh, well, somebody can finish that for me. Everybody looking at me now. But I'm ready to get crazy. He says yes, Brother Michelle, which is not good for us, but. But the way the Bible study that asked to finish that, but. He says yes, which is not good for us, but because we are insisting on it. Sometimes we do that for our children too, you know. Are we the student? We are insisting on the thing. And God will say, okay, since you are insisting, it's not good for you, you know. But you keep on insisting. I'm going to show you now what that outcome will be. So he gives it to us. Let us look at a passage of scripture where God gave something to his people that was not really good for them. But he gave them because they were insisting on it. Am I right here, Brother Mitchell? In 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 47, verse 4 says, "Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah." Verse 5, "And said unto him, Behold, you are now old, and your sons walk not in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us, like all the nations." So they want king. That was not in their best interest, you know. Was not in their best interest. "Like all the nations," like all, verse 6. "But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord." Verse 7 says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto you, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not what? Reign over them." Christians, be careful. We're going to make application now. Be careful. Sometimes we pray, but we want to find our own solution. We're not willing to wait on God, you know. We're willing to wait on God. We want to find our own solution and we run into trouble. Many times it happens. Many times. We want a job come, and the job is compromising our Christianity. We pray to God about getting this job, but a job come. But the job is not in line. It will not help us to further our spiritual well-being. Put it that way. You can use your imagination as to what the job could be. But there are certain jobs that will not help you to grow spiritually. I don't have to think, Lord, this job is this job, it is this job, it is. You can have an idea. There are certain jobs, Michael, that will not help you to grow spiritually. You want one? All right, I give you two. Working in a club. Working in a club. Right? Not just an ordinary club, not a club. You can get my feel, Michael. Working in a club. It's not going to help for enhance a Christian image at all. Working in a place that sells the lottery tickets. It's not going to enhance the Christianity at all. You get the point I'm saying? And there are many other situations like that. Getting into a certain type of relationship because you can't wait. And you're desperate. And you get into a certain type of relationship that you ought not to. That's car you for life. Your family life, your children, how you rear your children, scar you for life because that partner now is not, have no respect for Christianity. No respect for the Bible, no respect for the word. So you are caught now in a situation now where you can't even rear your children in a Christian pathway. Because it's a tug of war. Because you couldn't wait. You get the point I'm saying? And these are issues that affect Christians. That's why I'm saying to you, this is a simple lesson, you know? Simple. But it have a lot of, it have a lot of impact on us if we don't understand how to wait on God. How to say, when God said to us, no, we don't understand how to trust. And that's why the Psalm says, trust in him. We can keep going back to that passage over and over. You know. That psalm, that simple phrase, but it says, trust in him. Everybody turn to it again for me. Psalm 62 verse 8. Everybody turn to it for me. Turn to it. Everyone turn to it. Everyone read it when I read. All of us read it together. And we want to believe in this psalm, you know, Brother Michelle. Because you know what it says? Everybody read now. It says what? Trust in him at all times. Not sometimes. But at all times, when the thing look like, yeah, with our thing, you said, Brother Michelle, I can't remember the phrase you use about God's extreme, man's extremity is God's, what is it again? It's God's opportunity. So all when everything look dark and pitch black, trust in him at all times. That is the bedrock of our prayers, you know. We are praying now, but we are trusting in the answers. We're not saying to him, I want you to answer me the way I want you to answer me. That's not saying work. You trust in him at all times. You pour out your heart to him, but you trust in him. You trust in the answer he's going to give you. Don't work out your one solution against seven problems. It's not going to work, Rakai. It can't work. Because we're going to live now a life of misery, a life on unhappiness, and everything that is that. Everything. So we must be careful. So I'm going to review, because I'm not going to be very long. But I want to just go through some of the elements, some of the essentials that we have discussed tonight. But the essentials that we have discussed. We have said, first of all, that our prayer must have some thanksgiving in it. Am I right, Vivian? We can't just every day, every Sunday, Cheryl, pray for Sister Cheryl. That is good. Pray for Sister Mitchell, she's sick. Pray for Fabian, he's sick. Pray for Brother Smith. But when Fabian get better, we don't say, God, thanks for the life for Fabian. We need to balance it. It's too weighted towards just God, pray for this. We need to balance it so that people can see that we are also triumphant and giving thanks. It doesn't just always down. No, man. Thanksgiving. I remember 2 years ago, I couldn't walk. Sister Vivi, you came and saw me in the bed here. I was helpless, totally helpless. I was wondering if I was able to work again. It was just pain, severe pain. The surgery would have cost me $3.2 million. It's the price of the surgery, you know. And it was no guarantee that even after the surgery, I would have been able to walk. Because the tumor is pressing on some sciatic nerves. And nerves is a serious surgery. The church prayed. The church prayed strongly. I felt that prayers every day. The church was praying. Every Sunday prayer was praying. But I recover. Give thanks for the recovery. Pray about that. No. Eddie got problem. Rowan got, I'm talking to you now. Eddie got problem. Rowan, Brother Finley. They are recovering. Give thanks for the recovery. And concern. Don't just, you know, we have guests that come here from time to time. We don't want them to think, oh, these people only pray about 666. They don't get nobody get better. You know, this church, nobody don't get better. They're just sick all the time. That's how we feel. You start laughing, I'm teaching you know. Nobody don't get better in this church. It's a sick church. No, but we have had people who get better. Acknowledge it in our prayers, though. Coming people get better, right, baby? They get better. Yes, ma'am. We have lots of people who have gotten better in this year. Brother Smith is making such good recovery. There's still part to grow, but he's recovering. We give thanks for that. We give thanks for that. And then we must know, though, that prayer is a beseeching, is a pouring out of our hearts to God And we must trust in him. We must trust in how he answers our prayers. He answers our prayers, yes, no, wait. Trust in him. Don't go about now making your own solution and making a mess of your life. I'm just talking to you straight and plain. Because after you don't wait on him, you say him answer, he says to you in the scripture, I will answer your prayers. You pray and he didn't answer it the way you want him to answer it. So you tell yourself, him not answer it. So therefore, I'm going to find my one solution. It doesn't work like that. Am I right, Brother Mitchell? It doesn't work like that. Paul, the great apostle Paul, had a thought in the flesh, and God says, live with it. Christ, the Son of God, asked him, can you remove this cup from me? But of course, Christ's pattern was, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And Christ's prayer is a pattern for us. Pray about the concern, yes. Pray about the human condition, yes. But still say, if it is according to your will. We have to say that in our prayers. We must say that in our prayers. Because that is showing that we are trusting God fully. And remember, he may give to us what is in harmony with his will, but he may also give to us what we keep on insisting on getting. That part not so good. So we really need church to have the right attitude in our response when God answers our prayers. We need now to have that scriptural understanding of how it works. And don't just go about our own way doing our own thing. That will not work for us. And not thinking that prayer is not powerful. That's the worst thing you could ever fall into. Because you believe that it is not working. So you say, okay, prayer, can't bother the prayer thing. No. No. That's why now I'm urging us as a congregation now to try to balance from up here as a congregation. Try to balance it. Right, Brother Michelle? Give more thanksgiving for those who have recovered and those who are in recovery. Don't just down all the time. Give thanksgiving to God. When we give thanksgiving to God, he's saying, okay, these people are grateful to me. It's a spirit of gratitude. They're not just saying all the while, Brother Gilbert, sick him. Every day I'm sick. No, but if get better, give thanks. It's a spirit of gratitude to God. You're showing that you're grateful to him. So we need to do that so that we can balance. So Brother Morrison, that was a prayer that it's like you were reading my sermon out loud. When you gave you gave a lot of thanksgiving in your prayer tonight. That's what I want to see more of. Thank you, church.